In verse 51, we start with Jesus asking his disciples, have you understood all of these things? And the all of these things refers to everything he's been teaching in chapter 13. Remember, he talked about the parable of the sower, where there is good seed spread among many different kinds of soil. Talking about people that have shut their eyes, shut their ears, and their hearts to the truth. The parable of the wheat and tares, where God has spread his seed in the world, but Satan is spreading his teaching as well. And the parable of the sower and the soils and the parable of the wheat and tares will be seen throughout the next few chapters in incidents that happened with Jesus' life, actual events that mirror the different types of soil the seed fell on and people that are wheat and people that are tares. And then Jesus also talked about the parable of the mustard seed. The gospel of the kingdom starts small and gets big. The parable of leaven. Once the gospel starts spreading, there's no stopping it, just like leaven. And the parable of hidden treasure. It is of great value and is found by people looking for it and people that weren't looking for it. And the parable of the net reminds about judgment is coming. A lot of people don't realize the net is closing in around them, and there will be a day when there's a separation between those that follow Jesus and those that reject. And there's two destinations, either heaven or hell. When I taught in high school, we would always have a semester exam. And when you're in college, you generally have a semester exam too. And I would give them a review guide before the semester exam. And they were to review over everything. And I'd ask, are there any questions? Do you understand everything I've gone over? And they would all say, yes. And then I'd grade the tests. They hadn't understood. Jesus said, after the disciple said, yes, we understand, he said, therefore, well, since you understand, you need to do something with that. Now, in the medical show that Lana and I watched, it talks about doctors that are going through medical school and graduating from medical school. One doctor in there graduated from medical school, is now a doctor, and went to work in a convenience store. That's not what your degree in medicine is for. You shouldn't, it doesn't qualify you to work in a convenience store. Actually, the person didn't know how to run a register or anything like that. Had to learn that, was overqualified and specialized in an area, but that person, that doctor that was working in the convenience store needed to be working in the medical field if that person was going to use the training they had given. Jesus is saying, therefore, since you understood all the teaching I've given you, you need to go out and tell other people. And he says, everyone that's a teacher of the law who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like someone that has a house. And they bring out things old and things new of the storerooms. And he's talking about how now that you understand what I'm teaching, bring out the teachings from the Old Testament. Don't throw that away. And explain the full meaning now that you understand to all those you teach. Matthew is one of those that heard that word. And in the gospel, Matthew is, not the Matthew just walked in, but Matthew is recording over and over again, this was to fulfill what was written. And Matthew is an example of teaching the new that Jesus explained and teaching the old that Jesus fulfilled and putting it all together. A Christian who was once an evolutionary teacher, a teacher of evolution, was questioned by his students, what about these certain things? And this happened to be an honest scientist and began researching. And he became convinced that his teaching that there was no God was wrong. And that God, through his creation, led him to faith in Jesus Christ. And he has become a teacher explaining about biology now with the whole truth of God being the creator of biology. Another scientist who studied about molecular biology and genetics has written many books, of which Matthew has given me several to give him book reports about. I'm still reading. Explaining how science backs up what Jesus says, what the scripture says. It does. It's not contrary. The one that says there is no God is ignoring the truth of science. Jesus then, after he finishes telling his disciples, you need to be going out and telling other people what you knew before and now what you know now and explaining the truth, he left Capernaum, the fishing village where he had been, where he'd been teaching. He had, taught about the fishing nets, seeing the people fishing right near where he was. He moved back to his hometown. And you might think you'd get a warm welcome in your hometown. Generally, when someone is a war hero and returns to their hometown, they have a celebration, a parade, and generally the mayor celebrates a whatever person's name day. And there's great celebration. Well, Jesus went back to the town he grew up in, and the town he had spent 30 years in. And he went to the synagogue, and he began teaching them. And they said, in verse 54, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They understood, they heard the wisdom he was saying. They saw the miracles he was doing. Where did this come from? One of the most highly decorated World War II veterans, also an actor, Audie Murphy. He actually did a movie of his own life. He received a battlefield commission. That means he went from an enlisted man to an officer while fighting during the war. Generally what they did, when someone was promoted from a sergeant to a lieutenant, they would move them to a different group of people, soldiers that didn't know them. Because the soldiers would say, oh, this is just one of the guys. I remember going to boot camp with him. And they wouldn't respect him and his authority as an officer. Well, Audie Murphy got permission to stay with his group, because the men did respect him and his leadership. And that's sort of like what was happening with Jesus. We know who he is. We saw him growing up. Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't he Joseph's son? It says in Luke chapter 4, Isn't he the carpenter? It says in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. So the way the words are written, apparently Joseph was not alive anymore, because they say, we know he's the son of Mary, we know his mother, we know his brothers, and these are James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. James, if we look in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, James, the brother of Jesus. So there's a confirmation that this is James who is. And Judas, if you, the book right before Revelation, Jude, after Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, nobody really wanted to be called Judas anymore, so they just shortened it Jude. Jesus offended the people. We know who he is. He can't be anything special. If you look with me in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, we learn a little bit more about how offended they were. They wanted to kill Jesus. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." They were all speaking well of him and were amazed by the gracious words that came from his mouth. Yet they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Then he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. What we've heard that took place in Capernaum, do here in your hometown also.'" He also said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But I say to you, there were certainly many widows in Israel in Elijah's day, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, while a great famine came over all the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them except a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. And in the prophet Elijah's time, there were many in Israel who had leprosy, and yet not one of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was enraged. They got up, drove him out of town, and brought him to the edge of the hill that their town was built on, intending to hurl him over the cliff. But he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Until Jesus started telling them that they weren't special, they're like, "Oh, he's saying good words. You know, Jesus, we heard you did a bunch of miracles in Capernaum. Show us some miracles here." And Jesus taught them, the gospel is not exclusive to you. In the time of Elijah, in the time of Elisha, the prophets of God went to other individuals from other countries. And they didn't like that. They thought they were God's special chosen only group. They were offended so much, they said, "Let's kill him." Even though we know who he is, he's told us something we don't want to hear. And then our passage ends. He did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Many times, Jesus says to people, "Because of your faith," or as you have believed, you have been healed. We see that in Matthew 8:13, 9:22, Mark 5:34, Mark 10:52, Luke 7:50, Luke 8:48, 17:19, and 18:42. All those talk about faith being part of the healing as they believed. In Israel, in Nazareth at that time, they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And it tells us that in Mark that he only was able to heal a few people. Well, today we have a lot of people that don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to accept the message that it's only through Jesus Christ that we are saved. But the same truth applies now as applied then. There is salvation in no one else except Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. And it doesn't matter how many degrees you have behind your name. You can have enough degrees to be a thermometer. It doesn't mean you know the truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to understand who God is and trust His word. Jesus is the only way we can be forgiven of our sins and be ready for the judgment to come. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Lord, I thank you that we were able to be here to worship you. Lord, let us speak your word clearly. Let us accept your truth completely. And let us live a life based on that truth. As you would pray in our situation, in Jesus' name, amen.